Hey, if you would tonight, open your Bibles to, we're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and then we'll be between Galatians 4 and John 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3, appreciate the opportunity tonight to share God's Word with you. 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you would look with me at verse 16. And the Bible says this, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight for the fellowship that we enjoy because of what Christ did for us. And as we get into your word now, I ask that you would fill each one of us with your Spirit. Lord, that we would learn a blessed truth. Father, that you would bless Walk Through Bethlehem and that our lives might exemplify the salvation that you've given to us. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, go to Galatians 4. I have been, for the last several weeks, pondering the idea of the virgin birth, but kind of from a different perspective. And, you know, I don't know how you are as a Christian. I know how I am, and I very much tend to focus on the cross. And the Bible says we're to glory in the cross, And I tend to think a lot about the cross of Calvary and that Christ's blood was shed there for me. I tend to think a lot about the sacrifice that happened in that moment of time and what was accomplished for me as a Christian. And there was a little window of time in my life where I was all bent on everything had to be perfect in my world, and so I kind of struggled a little with Christmas. Because I wasn't sure that Christmas happened on the day we celebrated, if you know what I'm talking about. And about, oh, I don't know, when I started coming to Crossroads, I began to realize that I'm not so sure that God is all concerned about whether you and I know the exact day that Christ was born as much as we understand what it is that God did the day that he filled a body with his holy presence. Amen. And I was thinking in this passage in Galatians chapter 4, I'd like to start in verse 3. "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." You know, I don't know if you think much about your past before Christ, but I'm a testimony tonight that I was in bondage. Boy, sin had a hold on me. I had no hope in the world, amen? The Bible says that I lived my life in fear, subject to bondage, the fear of death, and Satan had a grip on my life, whether I knew it or I didn't know it, whether the people who come to enjoy Walk Through Bethlehem know it or don't know it, they're going to be in bondage if they don't know Christ. And the end of the bondage is death. And there's no getting out of it. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 2, that you and I were subject to that. Aren't you glad for the day Christ came into your life and for the first time you could say no to something? Boy, you know, when you're a sinner, you've got to say yes, doesn't matter, because your nature lines up right with that sin and there's not one thing you can do about it. That's what the Bible means when you and I were subject to bondage. We were caught up in it, couldn't get out of it. In verse 4, the Bible says this, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Hallelujah. Man, I got to thinking about that. What was the fullness of time? Sometimes I wish I knew exactly what was going on in the mind of our Heavenly Father when he said, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son into a woman." But I wanted you to think about this a little differently tonight because it's suddenly beginning to dawn on me. You know, sometimes I sort of think about that, isn't it nice that Mary birthed the Lord Jesus Christ? And I sort of get a little cavalier about the virgin birth. I mean, I don't mean it doesn't mean a lot to me. I just mean we talk about it like it's just a normal thing that occurred pretty much every other month, maybe. And I want you to know tonight that God in all of his glory on the throne had a moment in time when he didn't just birth the child, he interrupted all of history that Jesus Christ could fill a body and you and I would have an opportunity to have everlasting life. It was an interruption. God just interjected himself into the middle of time and said, "I'm going to change everything as it's always been." Whew, that's good news now. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." And the Bible tells us that that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 5, why did God do that? "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Bible says that because God so loved the world, sometimes I get focused on Jesus and I forget that it was the Father's idea all along that He should send forth His Son to you and I. Jesus agreed to come. But the Bible says that because God is love, that it was God Himself, it was in God's mind that He would send forth His Son that you and I would have everlasting life. And the thing that excites me about this particular weekend is we're going to have an opportunity as a church that message can be preached to thousands of people. And it's not just any old message. It's the truth. If you would, turn over to John chapter 1. I'm going to finish here tonight. I was thinking about a couple things that we've learned because of Christ coming in the flesh. John chapter 1, and we'll finish up. I'd like to start, if you would, in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten Father, and I want you to notice this tonight, full of grace and truth. If you would look down at verse 17, the Bible says, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I was thinking about parenting. You know, if you're a really good parent, you got to figure out how to balance truth and grace. Amen? Like, you got to know how to give just enough number of swats that you don't break them, but that they get the message. That's the mixture of truth and grace. In my case, my dad needed a calculator. But I got to thinking about God's order because I believe that every word in your Bible is exactly as God wants it. And the Bible says, and I want you to think about this tonight. You see, God gave us the law, amen? And the Bible says the law was our schoolmaster. It brought you and I to the knowledge of sin, but the law couldn't save you and I. In other words, all the law did was bring you and I into the place of condemnation. That is, it brought me to the place, if you will, of no hope. Boy, don't you remember the first time you knew you broke one of God's commandments? That first lie or that first thing you took that wasn't yours and how that feeling was in your system. I thought about this too. I thought about the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. But you know what the earth couldn't show me? The earth couldn't show me God's grace. It could show me His power. I could look in the heavens and see that God was almighty. I could look at the creation of the mountains and see that God held in His hand all the power to create anything that He wanted to. But what God couldn't convey to me through the creation was grace. God couldn't create or couldn't convey for me His love for me and how He thought about me and how distraught He was over the fact that I was a sinner and I was lost and on my way to hell. And so the Bible says that because God wanted to convey that to you and I, He interrupted time and He dwelt into a body. You know, it's interesting in Hebrews, the Bible doesn't say anything about that body was formed like any other body. The Bible says, a body thou hast prepared for me, and Christ came in and dwelt that body. Aren't you happy tonight that God in His mercy, while the law was truth, didn't leave us there, and that God in His mercy gave us the Lord Jesus Christ that we might see manifested with our eyes and through the Word of God, the grace of God toward you and I. Salvation. And then there's truth. I was thinking it was so exciting. I was looking in the book of Luke in chapter 1, and Luke says about how important it was that he convey the things that he had to say were true. I don't know how many things you've ever told people over your life. Maybe you've been like me every now and then, or you've had to convey something to someone. Isn't it nice to have one thing in your life that you can talk about that you know is absolutely infallible? One promise you can make for somebody is that Jesus Christ is the answer. You'll never have to apologize. One promise you can make for somebody is that Jesus Christ is the answer that they need. You'll never have to apologize. And I want you to look with me at verse 16. The Bible says this, And His fullness have all we received in grace for grace. The Bible said that in the fullness of time, what God really did was send us the fullness of God, that we might experience the fullness of His grace. It's a pretty powerful moment when we think about it in terms of that little baby being the sum total of the entire Godhead, veiled in the flesh and brought down for you and I that we might have a Savior. May this Christmas season have a little more impact for us if we think of the magnitude of what it really meant when God interrupted time for you and I so that we could have a different life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight for your word. May you bless the actors now as we enjoy the city. May you enjoy this season in our hearts. May we be filled with the glory of Christ. We love you and thank you in His name. Amen.